Well, today is International Mission Sunday, and our emphasis this particular time is around missionary care. Maybe you have thought, like I have, how did this actually work that Jesus lived in Israel so long ago, and here in Sacramento, so far away, we can hear the gospel? Well, the gospel has spread around the world. God's used a number of ways or methods. One is just migration, people moving. Another is even persecution. But there's this thing called the modern missionary movement, people responding to the Great Commission that Jesus gave, and other similar texts to just take the gospel to different lands. And if you've been involved at Sunrise or other churches, without doubt, you've heard some pretty shiny missionary stories on occasion about people praying to receive Christ and being baptized, and churches being planted, and even church planting movements. But behind those wonderful true stories is an often gritty reality of the individual missionary or the missionary family just trying to make life work in another culture, in another language, in another economy. In fact, this kind of hits home for me because our family got to live in Mexico for about 10 years. And I remember what it was like to kind of struggle with the bugs and kind of struggle with the heat and kind of struggle trying to figure out how to raise these three boys and trying to figure out how to plant a church. I can just tell you, it isn't always easy. Somebody in the Bible who understands that really well is the Apostle Paul. We can read Paul and his letters sort of from a point of theology, but he was a real person. He didn't walk on water. He was flesh and blood. He put his pants on one leg at a time, so to speak. And he was actually sent out by a local church in the city of Antioch. We read about that in Acts chapter 13 and verses 1 to 3. And he didn't really make it on his own. Now, we plenty to respect about the Apostle Paul. I mean, he's a brilliant theologian. He inspired writer of about a third of the New Testament, perhaps the most prolific Christian missionary ever. I just love the guy, and we study him for sure. But Paul was a real guy, and he had needs on occasion. And the New Testament doesn't hold back from explaining that Paul struggled. Paul had needs, and Paul had the courage and the faith to share those needs, and God, in his goodness, would call on individuals and sometimes entire churches to respond, to encourage and to help Paul in practical ways that his ministry could keep going forward. Did you know one time Paul actually felt deserted? He felt rejected. He felt all alone. And he wrote, "Do your best, Timothy," one of his key disciples or mentees, "do your best to come to me quickly." He was longing for friendship, for connection. He would go on to write, bring my coat for the winter months. He would say, bring my scrolls, the things I love to study and read because they edify my mind. In whatever gifts Paul had, he was a supremely relational person. He loved people. And he would sometimes call for specific people. At one point he wrote, "Go, get Mark and bring him with you because he's so helpful to me in my ministry." Well, there was an entire church that responded to Paul. The church in Philippi realized Paul was in need, and they sent to him a guy whose name sounds a little funny to us in our Western ears, but his name was Epaphroditus. "But I think it's necessary," Paul would write later, "to send back to you Epaphroditus, my brother. He's a co-worker, and look at this, a fellow soldier, who is also your messenger, whom you sent to do what? To take care of my needs." An emphasis there, not just on the advancement of the gospel, but on the care of the person bearing the gospel and carrying it forward. Well, there was another church that engaged with Paul, and I really love this church. They had a lot of things to work on. They struggled with division. They struggled with sexual immorality. But they lived in a prosperous land, and they were actually pretty well off financially. And they happened to get missionary care right. I'm talking about the church in Corinth. In the book of 1 Corinthians, Paul talks about a particular man named Stephanas. Stephanas and his family were one of the first families to come to Christ in all of southern Greece. And we know that Paul didn't really baptize that many people, but it turns out he did baptize Stephanas and Stephanas' family, which means he was probably pretty close to them. In 1 Corinthians, he writes, "I was glad when Stephanas, Fortunatus and Achaicus arrived because they have supplied what was lacking from you. Check out these words. They refreshed my spirit. Do you know someone in the faith who kind of God uses to refresh your spirit? Just kind of maybe puts some wind under your wings. Gives you that intangible but so necessary sense of encouragement once in a while. And he says, such men deserve recognition. Wow. Just for encouraging other people. They brought what Paul needed, and Paul commended them. Paul would go on to write in 2 Corinthians, describing his needs, when we came into Macedonia, we had no rest. Have you ever felt that way? But we were harassed at every turn, conflict on the outside, and fears within. Oh my. It was a struggle. And again, it was the church at Corinth that responded to Paul. In fact, they sent him not just a gift, but a person. They sent him Titus. And Paul had a close relationship with Titus. They served together in the cause of Christ on the island of Crete. Paul was so grateful that later on he wrote, but God comforts the downcast, comforted us by the coming of Titus, and not only by his coming, but also by the comfort you had given him. You know, even after all the tough talk between Paul and Corinth, and there were some sharp words at times, they loved one another. They took care of one another. Paul would write in the end, he told us about your longing for me, your deep sorrow, your ardent concern for me, so that my joy was greater than ever. Paul was an emotional person. Paul had a heart. And it meant something to Paul that other people cared for him and thought about him and prayed for him and sent him not just gifts, but actual people to encourage him. So Paul may have been history's most dynamic Christian worker, and he certainly had a life that has led to eternal fruit, but he was a real person. And he was capable of being discouraged, just like you and I are. But God used individuals as well as churches to encourage him. Well, just as Paul was sent out from a local church, so too were a couple named Brad and Laurel Jenkins. Now, for many of us here, those names are very familiar because Brad and Laurel were a keen and central part of Sunrise many years ago. But as they've been sent out about 13 years ago, if you've come into the life of Sunrise in that time, maybe you wouldn't know them quite as well. So I want to reintroduce Brad and Laurel to you today. Laurel grew up in Puget Sound and then later on in the Portland area. Brad grew up in a place called Citrus Heights. And he got kind of tangled up with this group of guys, and they were hanging out at a church youth group at a place called Sunrise Community Church. And he ended up getting very involved there, and that really changed the direction of his life. Later on, Brad and Laurel would actually meet in Portland when they attended Multnomah University. And then they returned here to Sunrise, and Brad was actually on staff as an assistant youth pastor. Well, about 13 years ago, we sent Brad and Laurel out as missionaries, and they have been working to equip young leaders to fulfill Christ's commission through the local church. They now work in Slovenia. Slovenia is kind of northeast of Italy, heart of Europe. It's a country of about 2 million people. It's home to just about 2,000 evangelical believers. That's less than one-tenth of 1% would be evangelical believers. About 7 years ago, Brad and Laurel began working with another Slovene couple, reaching out to young people in their city. And some of those youth became believers, and they were discipled, and those disciples grew into a local church. The Jenkins are now empowering other youth leaders to take on the youth ministry in that very church. An example is Robbie and Mirjam. I think we have a picture of them right there. They've gone from being unbelievers to followers of Jesus to now leading other youth to Jesus. They are disciples, making disciples. They're married and they're expecting their first child any day. Isn't that exciting? Wow. Brad is an elder in their local church, but he's also a part of the Josiah Venture leadership team for all of Slovenia. And he wants us to know that the leader of that team is a Slovene. He's a national. He's a citizen of Slovenia, really important. And the missionaries support him as that man gives direction to the ministry. And they're trusting Christ for more youth camps, for more youth groups than ever before. And they're very excited about that work. For her part, Laurel mentors girls. What she started about 7 years ago was with a group of girls who were not believers in Jesus Christ at all. But God stirred their hearts. He drew them to himself. She began to disciple them. A couple are now working in their local church there with Brad and Laurel, and some are involved in ministry even in other countries today. Would you give a warm sunrise welcome to our missionaries, Brad and Laurel Jenkins.
God bless you. Come here, brother.
These two are such good sports. They just returned to the country on Thursday, so their biological clock is probably like the middle of the night or something for you guys. You guys are...
It's bedtime.
It's bedtime. We just take a nap right now. You know, we dug into the archives a little bit preparing for your arrival, and we got some cool photos from back in the day. So here's wedding day, July 2003, Carlo and Jean Ann right there. Hume Lake. You guys worked with a lot of students up there. We have a number of shots. Looking good. Winter camp. It's a good looking group of guys. Summer camp. Wow. And then Mexicali, right? That's cool. Let's see what else we've got. You look pretty tough, Brad. Man.
I try.
Yeah. And there's their family. Well, I am just so honored to be on the platform with you guys. We just love you. We're proud of you. Proud of the work that our Heavenly Father is doing through your lives and the really cool things that are happening. But as we talked on Skype a number of weeks ago, we kind of agreed to sort of not emphasize that story, but sort of go behind the scenes a little bit and talk about your emotional lives and your spiritual lives, because that's maybe the side of the missionary story that's less told. And Brad, if we can start with you, you're kind of relating that there was a time you kind of had a conversation with a friend in Slovenia and kind of began wondering, am I really doing okay? Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so it was 3 years ago, and we had just come back from our last home assignment. And a couple weeks after we landed back in Europe, I was going to a conference, and I was really expecting this conference to be refreshing and filling. And I got there, and I realized it had the exact opposite effect. I realized I was grumpy. I didn't want to talk to people. I didn't want to engage. I was extremely tired. And there, I got into a conversation with our leader at the time, and he just was able to look at me and said, "Hey, how are you really doing?" And so it started this conversation where he was able to help identify, hey, this is not normal, Brad. This is not you. So it sent me on this journey of trying to figure out what is going on. And really quick, just looking at some literature, realized I had all the symptoms of what is called burnout. Mm-hmm. And it just was kind of like all the dials on my dashboard were just off. Things were not right. I was able to get in a conversation with a counselor, and just in this hour, he helped enlighten me and say, hey, this is not uncommon. What you're going through is a very, very common thing. And here is a way to get out. And it was very helpful. He said, it took you a really long time to get here, and it's going to take you a long time to get out. It's not going to be this overnight switch. So,
burnout is not something anybody puts on their calendars or their, you know, New Year's resolutions or goals for the year, but it happens. And it happens more often than we tend to think or even talk about, especially in environments like this. And it makes me so grateful for you guys talking about this today. Were there any particular resources that kind of surfaced in that time with the counselor that were helpful?
Yeah, so one of the things he talked to me about was he called it the wheel of health or the wheel of vitality. And he basically said that all of these areas are extremely important in your life. And so I knew that, yeah, that my spiritual life is super important, but I was like, there's other things that are going on here, and I don't know what they are. So he was able to just say, these are them. and help me evaluate really what is where am I at with each of these categories? Yeah. And I was able to kind of go through and go, you know, I'm not doing great in a lot of these. Recreational, for example.
Let's stop right there. Are you talking about, you guys are missionaries. Are you talking about missionaries having like hobbies and stuff?
That's
crazy.
Yep. Yeah, it's a real question. I was like, am I able to go have fun?
You guys don't just think about the gospel 24 hours a day kind of thing. You actually go play and have fun.
Yeah.
You know, that's a great thing. I'm glad you do that.
Yeah, and it's a trap. It really is to focus and go, I need to go skiing, but not break my hip.
Watch out for skiing.
And not just do it with young people, but actually just go with my friends, you know. And and so physically, am I eating right? Am I exercising? How am I doing sick-wise? Yeah. Emotional, you know, it's easy for me to just kind of put that to the side. But am I listening to music that helps me emote? Am I able to have good conversation with friends and really get to the heart of things?
Yeah.
Education, am I reading? Am I renewing my mind? This is super important for me. If I'm not reading, right, I know that I'm going the wrong way. Family, marriage, friendship. So these were all super key in getting back.
You know, I'm feeling something like convicted and encouraged at the same time looking at this wheel, because I'm thinking maybe it's not just good for you. Maybe it's good for me. Maybe it's kind of something that could be good for us. You know, there's probably more than one of us in the room that could be helped with something like this. Was there anything you were reading at that time or anything else that surfaced during that time?
Yeah, so really each of these categories, it became almost like a life or death situation for me. I realized if I'm not doing well with the Lord, I'm toast. Like, we can just pack our bags and leave. If I'm not dating my wife, if we're not getting away, if I'm not investing in our marriage, we just say goodbye. So all of these areas became like this super critical decision for me. But the Lord really met me in each area. In a really unique way, in each one. And then I was also reading this really, really good book called Leading on Empty. And in this, he talks about the 95 and the 5%. 95% of what I do, really someone else can do. Someone else can go disciple young people in Slovenia. Someone else can help lead the church. Someone else can lead the organization. Sure, I have some experience, and you know that's helpful, but that can be replaced. But 5% of what I do, only I can do. I can only be the wife to Laurel. I can only be the dad to my kids. Or what did I say? Wife? Like, I can only be the husband to Laurel.
This is California, so we understand those things.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man. Glad to be out of some of that, actually. So the 5% was just super critical, and I need to make sure I'm taking care of this 5%. Yeah, became crystal clear in my mind, and it helped me know exactly how I need to focus my time and energy.
Yeah. Now, I think at about the time you had another addition to your family, right? Gracie had come into the world, and we want to be, you know, not just a church that's interested in the 95%, like the cool work you're doing. We want to be a church that's interested in 100%. We want to be a church that supports the work of the 5%, which is staying married and taking care of your kids and having a good family life, as good as it can be in the different stages we go through. And I know you have three precious children, and we've gotten a little bit of a glimpse of them, but could you introduce us to them a little more fully?
So this is Landon. He's 10, and he's completely bilingual. He goes to a Slovene school, and he can read and write, and he's in the fifth grade, in Slovene and in English. He can read and write. He's in the fifth grade, and he loves music, and he loves sports, and he loves people. He's pretty much a walking party.
Wow.
And then this is Jackson. We like to call him Action Jackson. And he is 6, and he will start first grade in Slovene school in the fall. And he is learning Slovene. Language has been a little bit of a harder road for him, but he's persevering and doing really well. And right now his favorite things are dinosaurs and dressing up. So this is his favorite outfit, the red bow tie and the suspenders.
Cool.
And this is Gracie, and she is God's grace to Laurel, especially to have a girl. I love having boys, and I'm actually thrilled to have Gracie in our life. But enough people have told me how cute she is and how adorable she is, so I'll just take them at their word. I'm super biased. I think she's amazing, and I think Laurel gets all the credit for helping her be cute and attractive and a beautiful little daughter.
That's great. You know, probably for all of us, our children are so precious to us, and yet you're raising your children in an environment that has a very tiny Christian population. So what is that like?
Yeah, there's probably a lot of things I could say about this, but the first thing that comes to mind is that there is a very high cultural value. The predominant high cultural value in Slovenia is that women need to work. And so they stay home for like the first year, maybe the second year of a child's life, but then they go off to school and the child goes right into daycare. And if you don't do that, you're really looked down upon. And so I am totally involved in God's ministry and with what Brad's doing and everything, but in a Slovene's perspective, I'm a stay-at-home mom, and it's just hard. It's just hard to be the odd one out and to know that I'm being judged when I walk down the street pushing the stroller when I should be working or whatever. So yeah, that's been really hard.
I imagine that's a big challenge. People have actually studied different roles in mission work, and I'm aware that one of the hardest continues to be reported is the missionary mom. You're wanting to support the work and engage there, but you've got kids and, of course, their education and feeding, shopping, and all this stuff to do. So what is it like for you to be a missionary mom?
Yeah. This is a different question. Okay. Yeah, it's been good. Is it the how I've been doing Christian?
Yes.
I'm sorry,
yes.
I'm getting confused.
It's okay. How have you been doing? You know, we heard about Brad's, he kind of shared his struggle, and I'm imagining being a missionary mom, maybe there was some burden that came on you.
Yeah. So, watching Brad go through burnout and experiencing that with him, really, and I'm not putting him under the bus, he would say this, but really I carried our family for sure emotionally and carried the ministry in some ways. And I didn't realize that it was taking such a toll on me. I just kept going, nope, I'm fine, everything's fine. And then I hit a wall about a year and a half ago. So we got away for the first time in a really long time to celebrate our 10-year anniversary 2 years late. Around our 10-year anniversary, we had Gracie. And so so we celebrate our anniversary, and we just really rested. We didn't have like a crazy holiday vacation time. We had a really chill one. And every morning, I would wake up feeling so tired, and my heart hurt. And I didn't really know what was going on inside of me. I didn't know at all. And so through a pretty long process, the Lord really revealed that I was not doing well. And I have a quote from the devotion book, Streams from the Desert, that really summarizes this last year and a half season for me. It is not until a beautiful kernel of corn is buried and broken in the earth by death that its inner heart sprouts, producing hundreds of other seeds or kernels. And so it has always been down through the history of plants, people, and all of spiritual life. God uses broken things.
I think we should just let that sink in. We tend to think that our brokenness is something we need to hide or be ashamed of, or somehow God can't redeem it. And yet the cross teaches us that God takes our sin, forgives it, and fills our life anew with his Spirit and with his word. And actually, we can be strongest in the broken places, and God can use our brokenness. Brad has done a good job in our conversation sometimes talking about a reservoir, especially those different categories. Do you identify at all with that concept as you think about your life?
Yeah. So now I look back and I can see actually in God's goodness, that he brought me to the place where I had to come to the end of myself and just recognize and realize I'm just totally broken and I need him. And so to use the reservoir analogy, but I like to think of it as a beautiful vase. Yeah. And so you have this beautiful vase, and every morning I was getting filled up by the Lord and spending time with him. But often, by the end of the day, or sometimes an hour into the day, depending on the day and what was going on, I would feel so drained and so empty and so done. And I started talking to people and asking, what is going on with me? Something is not right. Why am I feeling this way? I'm going to the Lord. I'm getting what I need, but I am just feeling so tired. It doesn't make sense. And so I realized that there were holes and there were cracks in my vase. And so as I go through my day, there would be stuff I would encounter that would bump into those holes and cracks. And then that time that I got with the Lord, it was just like it would just drain out of me. And so I talked with a mentor in our organization, and she said, well, let's look at Matthew 11, Laurel. And so this verse, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And she asked me, is this a reality in your life? And I said, no. And she said, well, this is a promise from God that when we come to him, that we will experience rest. And if you're not feeling that, then there's something wrong. Who are you yoked to? And I just thought, I don't know. Who am I yoked to? And so through a process, I realized that I was yoked to myself. I wasn't yoked to the Lord. And so through repentance and faith, I repented of that. And God showed me some other things, some other holes and cracks, and is taking me through a process of healing and restoration. I'm not totally all the way there yet, but I'm well on my way.
That's awesome. I just so respect your sharing from your own hearts and your own lives. And as I'm getting to know you guys, but I've learned that you're a journaler. And I think you brought your journal today. Is there something you'd like to share?
Yeah, about a year ago, put the kids to bed and I sat on the couch. It was almost our 7-year anniversary of living in Slovenia. And I just had a lot of thoughts and wanted to summarize what these last 7 years had been. And so I'd just like to share with you them. Living in Slovenia. So much joy, so much heartache, so much fruits of the Spirit in lives, and so much sin too. Hard hearts, soft hearts, doors that swing wide open, ministry opportunities, Spirit-led moments, light shining in dark places, growth, good soil, divine moments, reconnection, movement in hearts and lives, repentance, faith, trust, sunshine, light, life, old man gone, new man has come, reborn, movement in churches, movement for the kingdom, empowered by the Holy Spirit. So much hard hearts, fog, confusion, doubt, darkness, thorny soil, turning back to the old self and old patterns, old ways of thinking, long, cold winter seasons, watching people walk away from God, stuck, attacks, storms, unhealthy families, toxic even, hopelessness, despair, suicides, rejection, unforgiveness, division, unhealthy patterns, closed doors, closed, slammed shut, opportunities that should have been that weren't, opening doors that closed quickly, right in your face, windows that should have been open that don't, paths that you think are straight and sure that become winding and confusing. Growth that is withering. But always a movement. Always there is light, always life, always truth. Always God is leading. Always He is guiding. Always. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. He never stops His movement. Always a movement of God among the youth of Slovenia that finds its home in the local church and transforms society. And we are privileged to be a part of it.
Thank you. How are you doing now?
It's a great question. So I would say that we're on the other side of burnout, but we're not completely done or not completely healed. And to be honest, I don't know what full restoration is going to look like. And a lot of the stuff that I've read, it's some people just never get back to their full capacity. So maybe that's actually a great thing. Maybe we should, how we're living now is actually how we should have been living before, trying to do the right things instead of just trying to do everything. So we're taking day by day, trying to be dependent on the Lord, letting Him guide us. But life definitely looks different.
Yeah.
No.
That's okay. You know, one of the other questions I just want to ask as we're gathered here, is there anything you just kind of wish everybody knew about missionaries or missionary life?
It's a great question. There's a lot. For one, we don't live in Slovakia. We live in Slovenia. Yeah. That gets confused a lot. But I think, especially in light of this whole conversation, I think a lot of missionaries get in a trap of trying to prove themselves, maybe prove themselves to themselves, to God, to their supporters. They want to have the great, you know, story in the newsletter every month or whatever. And so they can get in this trap of always being on mission, which is great, but they are not realizing that they have to take care of themselves. And we take care of ourselves so that we can, therefore, invest our lives in others. So I think you guys can be a part of helping missionaries take care of themselves. Mm. And you can help these guys, you know, take care of themselves. And, you know, recreation and hobbies, they're great, you know. And so there's just those things that you can help encourage the people that you're connected to in those ways. And we had people looking out for us. Like, we've had Carlo and Jean Ann. We have a great support system, actually, in Slovenia. But not all missionaries do. A lot don't. And a lot of, there's some missionaries that just don't have people asking the question, hey, how are you really doing? Don't tell me the stories about all the success in ministry. Tell me about how it's going on. So if you're connected to a missionary, I think you can come in from that angle. If you're not connected to a missionary, get connected.
There you go. That's good.
And I would say not to underestimate the power of connection. And what I mean by connection is staying connected with missionaries. I have talked to a lot of missionaries, and I know in my own heart a lie that is so easy that I can believe is that I am all alone.
Yeah.
That I'm all alone, and that life is going on back in America, back home, and everyone has forgotten me. And so staying connected is super important. So even if you get missionary newsletters, if you just write back a sentence thinking of you, or if you want to write a couple sentences of how you're doing so they still feel really connected with you, that's important. And so first service I said that, and I had several people feel really guilty that they didn't do that. So don't feel any guilt. Guilt is not from the Lord.
That's great. Let's camp on that word connection for just a minute. I represent a group here at Sunrise called the Sunrise Mission Commission, about 10 folks from our congregation who volunteer to try to take a few steps to take care of people like Brad and Laurel. We have probably about another 18 different international missionaries or agencies that we support as a church, and then about 14 local agencies or missionaries. And while Brad and Laurel are speaking specifically about their experience, with just a few tweaks, we could probably apply a lot of what they're describing to other people, whether they're serving here in the States or sometimes internationally. And so we all have a role in this, and I want to just call on you guys to seek to maintain that sense of connection One thing is a spiritual connection. One thing any of us could do, even after this service or any given Sunday, is just spend a little time in the hallway right out here. We have pictures and brief descriptions of so many of our missionaries. You could say, hey, I'm going to just spend a little time walking the hall and praying for our missionaries. You could say, hey, I want to just pray for one missionary every time I come in the building. Anybody have one of those spouses who likes to have a conversation until the lights get turned out in the building? Yeah, if you got one of those, that's great. Just say, hey, honey, you keep talking. I'm going to go pray for our missionaries for a few minutes. Just pick me up in the hallway when you're done. Anybody can be praying for our missionaries. Relational connection. If you lead a group, and maybe it's your family or a life group or an adult Christian education class, you could get intentional and say, hey, we want to adopt a missionary, an individual or a family. We're going to look them up on the Sunrise website. We're going to try to Skype with them. We're going to try to learn a bit of about their lives. And even as I've been so blessed getting to know Brad and Laurel better, I think you'll be blessed as well. The other thing I want to emphasize is that missionaries like financial connection and financial support as well. Money is involved in the work that Brad and Laurel do. Money was involved in the work that the Apostle Paul did. And that money can come in a wide variety of ways. Sunrise is the home church to Brad and Laurel. They are in our mission budget. But I want you to know that Sunrise provides 3% of Brad and Laurel's missionary support. That means that they need to connect with other churches or individuals to raise the balance of that support. That takes time and energy away from their family and their ministry. Any one of us can be a part of adding to that support through our regular offerings. When those offering bags go by, you can, of course, your regular tithe or offering, but you can also designate an offering that will go through our finance department right into Josiah Venture, which is their agency that will be a part of supporting Brad and Laurel. So maybe you're a part of a group, again, your family or a life group or a class, and you might say, hey, let's adopt the Jenkins or let's adopt one of our other missionaries. You can see them online. And maybe you would just join them in celebrating a birthday or Christmas or Easter or a wedding anniversary or whatever. And maybe even taking an offering once a year to say, hey, we're pretty blessed living here in Northern California, part of Sunrise. Let's try to bless them. In fact, and I didn't see this coming when we initially scheduled this day, today is your birthday. That's pretty great. So this is a worship service of the living God, and I know this is a little bit hokey, but would you mind joining me in singing Happy Birthday to Laurel? Are you ready? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Laurel. Happy birthday to you. Woo! That's awesome. We're going to have to cut these up really small. There's five, so I'm guessing they're for your family. I think when your kids need a little sugar hit, you got it right here, okay? That's awesome. We'll get it set down there. Well, man, I have so enjoyed this time with you guys. And I just want to ask because, you know, sitting in a room like this, there may be one of us or more that would say, you know, I identify with what you've described, and you've described yourselves as kind of moving out of it, and that's great. But what would you say to a brother or a sister who's here saying, I'm not out of it, I'm more like in right now what you were describing? What kind of encouragement or hope would you give a person like that? Do you want me to take those flowers and stuff? I got you. Oh, there we go. Okay.
If you feel broken like I did, it's okay. It's good to recognize it and to bring it before the Lord. And he's the best one to bring it before because he is in the business of restoration and redemption. So he can restore and redeem you like he's in the process of doing with me. So take heart because he's in this with you and he can restore you.
Amen.
Now just add, please reach out and ask for help. That's not a bad thing. We had to get to that spot where we just had to say, hey, we're not doing great and we need help and we don't even know what that is. But we have a good father. He's a good shepherd and he He makes us lie down by still waters, or green pastures, still waters. Mm-hmm. And for us, he had to make us. He had to make us lie down and force us almost. And I think it could have gone a lot easier if we just let him do that to start with.
Could we thank Brett and Laurel for sharing with us today, guys? Brad and Laurel are going to be with us all this month, and they're available in the foyer. Let's just pray for them. Heavenly Father, we love you. Thank you for this great work that you have done over so many years. Lord, we pray that this month would be a month of rest and renewal, where your promises would shine truly in our hearts and in Brad's heart and Laurel's heart. Lord, we want to pray that you would help us as a congregation not just care about the 95% that gets reported out, but how missionaries are really doing, what it's like to be a mom or a dad, a wife or a husband, and what it's like for their kids. Help us to up our game in those areas. And Lord, we pray that your gospel in us would change this world. And thank you for helping us care for one another today. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.